we have Brother Taimur on air. Brother Taimur, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You live on Radio Islam this evening with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, on the program called Ulama Legacy. Jazakallah for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
This program tonight we have dedicated on your loving father, Brother Junaid Jamshed, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very loved individual around the whole world.
Jazakallah, Ubaidullah bhai.
Ameen, inshallah. Tell us, in terms of your father, he was special to everybody. What was the one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, that in every field people just naturally found that they had an attachment and a love towards him?
I've been saying this to a lot of people, and as we can see in his previous, in his life, he had two lives. He just didn't live one life, he lived two lives. One as a pop singer, and then he had his transition and into an Islamic preacher. And we can see that he got the respect from choosing the path of Allah, and which is why Allah gave him this gift that people would want to listen to him, that he was influential. It's because he sacrificed something so dear to him for something that Allah wanted. There was no way that Allah wasn't going to give him support or be with him throughout this period. I remember him saying once that during his transition period, he felt three things. One being, he said, I've got such a nice voice, if I leave singing, no, how will I ever use my voice? Second thing, he said, I'm so famous, how will I get this fame back once I leave music? And third, he said, I get to go on stage and sing songs in front of this whole crowd. I probably will never have this crowd again. But Allah works in mysterious ways. He gave dad all these things much more than he had during his music period. He got to read nasheeds, with he used his voice again.
Yeah.
He got to speak in front of the whole Jamaat, and fame. He got more famous than he was from before. So when you sacrifice something so much for Allah, there is no way that Allah will not reward you.
Tell me, Brother Taimur, I always wanted to ask the question, but I never had the courage. That transition phase from the pop singer to the preacher towards Allah, was it a difficult phase for the family, or was it something which was an easy transition generally for the family?
Coincidentally, I've been asked this question for the third time this week. I'm going to give you the same answer, that my mom and dad played a vital role during this period, and I'll have you know that during this period, my experience, I don't know about my younger brothers and sisters, but for me, nothing changed. No, maybe yes, we changed, our house changed, our lifestyle changed, but my mom and dad made sure that I would not feel that we're going through this life-changing transition. So it never really felt to me that we were going through such a transition. And I can there's not enough thanks for that I can give my parents for this.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and your parents abundantly. Your father traveled around the world, and he was much loved around the world for the many things that obviously he done. But what was he like as a dad? Was he the superstar and the pop star and the famous person, or was he a dad like everybody else?
For us, he was always our dad. To us, we never saw him the way we see him now. Now that he's gone, we realize that he was someone very, very special among us. During when he was alive, we always, he was a regular dad for us. Can't seem to explain it properly, but he was just our dad. We never thought of him or something what we think of him now.
See. And how was, when your dad started going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously then the change of everything that had happened, everything, was there within his friends and those people that knew him, was there that support in that structure, or was it a challenge for him to also then make the change accordingly?
Basically, it's always very difficult. This transition is never easy, but that's what Allah requires you to do. And during this period, yes, he did have difficulties, but he faced them head on. He never quit. He never thought that what he was doing was wrong. So I believe there was a lot of help from Allah, because he was doing it wholeheartedly.
Your father's life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with a great voice, and we hear his nasheed all the time, and we always were blessed. But I was taken aback by his speech, because I found they had a lot of...
Pardon? Yeah. Hello? Yes, sorry?
So
I couldn't hear you.
Do you hear me, Brother Taimur?
Yes.
You know, many people were taken aback by the voice that your father had, and enjoying his nasheeds, etc., which was truly marvelous. But when a person would listen to his lectures, it was always motivating, it was always capturing. He always inspired you to want to do something better with your life. Was that something common in your home as well?
I think that that really came from the beginning. He was always an influential person. Even when, as a pop singer, he wanted to be the best. He never thought that, okay, I'll just do it for the sake of it. It was always about being the best. When he did singing, he did it to become the best. And when it came to preaching, it was to become the best he could. And I'll have to say that this was really God gifted, that he was very influential back in the day when he was singing, and he was very influential when he was preaching as well. And yes, this happened in our household as well. He would always come and tell us these teachings that he would learn from, and they were very inspirational and influential.
Your father had a very good relationship, perhaps one of the closest that we are aware of, with Maulana Tariq Jamil.
Yes.
You want to give us some info with regards to that chat?
To what?
His relationship, brother? With Maulana Tariq Jamil.
What about it?
My question is your father's dialogue and his relationship with Maulana Tariq Jamil. Do you want to give the listeners of Radio Islam International some insight towards that?
That's a whole different story. It's actually a pretty long story, if anything. I can give you a little detail. Basically, Maulana really had to work on my father. It didn't take just one meeting. It took him a lot of meetings. My dad's friend, he took him to Maulana, and there dad went. He didn't have a beard or anything, and he went up to Maulana, and he told him that I'm a pop singer, and then Maulana asked him about what all he does, and then basically one thing led to another. But it was a long period. I believe it took Maulana about 8 months of work and being in touch with my father for my dad to take that step and change, get into the transition period.
Your father in his talks makes mention of a person by the name of Junaid Abdul Ghani. Are you aware of such a person?
Yes, that was the friend. That was the friend who took dad to Maulana Tariq Jamil.
Subhanallah. Give us some insight about his influence on your dad.
I was too little when that really happened. I heard the story from Molana only. Molana Tariq Jameel, he told us this story. I was too little when all of this was happening.
Subhanallah. What of your father's life would you like to share with the listeners of Radio Islam?
Are you asking me what I've learned from my father?
What you have learned, yes.
One thing that was very inspiring to me was that he always used to tell me that give in the path of Allah. Always give. That's how you will get barakah in your own maal, in your own savings, in your own basically your own stuff will get blessed if you just give in the name of Allah. Because he said when Allah gives you something, he puts shares for everyone. It's just not for you, so it has to be given in the path of Allah. That's how you get barakah. That's one thing very, very inspirational for me, and I've always tried to continue with it.
Subhanallah. I was intrigued by one article that I was reading about your dad, wherein he actually had taken up the initiative of trying to sort out that part of Pakistan where you are currently staying by going out himself and cleaning the dirt and the rubble on the street.
Yes, yes, yes.
There was something that was truly amazing
for me. Think about him was that he loved... Sorry, yes.
Please do carry on.
Yes, so this happened because he loved the country so much. He always wanted to do something for the country. I'll have you know, my grandfather, he was in the Pakistan Air Force, and he fought two wars during his time. He was a fighter pilot, and his influence came to my father. My father was a very patriotic person, and the love for the country came from that background, and which is why he would always tell everyone to take care of your own country, and take care by try to stop littering. You try to educate our people, and you always try to do something good for the country. A prime example of that is Dil Dil Pakistan. The song that he wrote,
yes.
The song that he sang, was, if anything, that's, if it's second to anything, it's probably to the national anthem. That's how much it gets played during our Independence Day and during the whole year. Any Pakistan Day, it's always on the streets. And this is what derived him to go out in the streets and try to make an effort to show people that this is your own country, you need to take care of it, because he really loved our country.
Tell me, in terms of parting advices with regards to your dad to the Radio Islam listeners, what would you like to share with them?
I would like to tell them what my dad told me, that if you want barakah in your own maal, if your own savings, you should always try to give as much as you can, because that's how you get barakah. And if you make Allah your friend, there is no way you can't succeed in life. And I would like to thank everyone for the support and the love they've shown us after this whole incident. And that's actually given us a lot of strength, and I really appreciate it.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you all. Jazakallah. I know it's very, very late where you all currently are in Pakistan. Jazakallah for taking out
yes.
the time and coming on the program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank
you for having me.
The good replacement.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
That was Brother Taymour, the son of Brother Junaid Jamshid. who was giving us a little bit about insight about his father. We are going to play you now a clip from Brother Junaid Jamshed, which is the Jummah Bayan that Brother Junaid Jamshed had given. The topic on this one here, where he speaks about, is he speaks about the importance of deen and the unity of the Ummah. We're going to ask Brother Salim to play us this clip, and when we return, we shall carry on, inshallah.
فرقات میں رہ کر پھر وہ مکہ یاد آتا ہے وہ زمزم یاد آتا ہے وہ کعبہ یاد آتا ہے مجھے فرقات میں رہ کر پھر وہ مکہ یاد آتا ہے وہ زمزم یاد آتا ہے وہ کعبہ یاد آتا ہے پہن کر صرف دو کپڑے میرا وہ چیختے پھرنا وہ کوشش یاد آتی ہے وہ نعرہ یاد آتا ہے جہاں جا کر میں سر رکھتا جہاں میں ہاتھ پھیلاتا وہ چوکھٹ یاد آتی ہے وہ پردہ یاد آتا ہے کبھی وہ دور کر چلنا کبھی رک رک کے رہ جانا وہ چلنا یاد آتا ہے وہ نقشہ یاد آتا ہے کبھی وحشت میں آ کر پھر صفا پر جا کے چڑ جانا وہ مسعی یاد آتا ہے وہ مروہ یاد آتا ہے کبھی چکر لگانا حاجیوں کی صف میں لڑ
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسوله الکریم My name is Junaid Jamshed This is a very special occasion you know the month in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam graced this world and there is nothing in this world full of khair that he did not tell his ummah And there is nothing in this world which is full of shar that he did not warn us about. According to one of the sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ad-dinu an-nasiha." The straightforward meaning of this hadith is that deen is nasiha, the deen is advice. But one interpretation that the ulama have done of this hadith is that the word nasiha is made up of two things, two words. One is nasih, which is the one who advises, and the other is minsaha, which is actually a word in Arabic for needle, a needle. The word nasih also has this meaning of adjoining, basically that of a tailor. So according to these words of wisdom of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the nasih, which is the tailor or the adjoiner, picks up his minsaha and with his minsaha adjoins different pieces of cloth together, then that piece of cloth, those pieces of cloth which were absolutely worthless before they were adjoined, they become a dress and they become priceless and they are put in different shops and they are used. As long as those pieces weren't together, they weren't sewn together, they were absolutely useless and had no meaning. And now that they have been joined together, like this kurta that I'm wearing, the sleeves and the front, the back, now they've been joined together, they have become part of human body. They are there to embrace us, they make us look good, and they are worthy of spending a lot of money on them. So similarly, as long as the ummah is together, they are priceless in the eyes of Allah. They have a huge worth, and they are going to be dominant all over the world. And if they are not, then they are going to be of no use, and they are going to be worthless in the eyes of Allah. So may Allah Rabbul Izzat, so as far as deen is concerned, as long as deen is in our lives, we'll be joined together. And if deen is not there, it will be very, very difficult to join the ummah. Because the ummah actually gets together only when Allah and His Prophet and their sayings and ta'aleem are in our lives. Then the whole ummah is together. And if those sunnahs and the commandments of Allah are not in our lives, this ummah can never get together. May Allah give me and may Allah give all of you this strength and tawfiq to actually spend our lives in the lifestyle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right at the end, I would like to thank, celebrate Mercy from the bottom of my heart for giving me this opportunity to communicate with all the viewers. And before I leave, I just like to read a few words in the praise of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how they go.
Muhammad ka roza qareeb aa raha hai, bulandi pe apna naseeb aa raha hai, nabiyun azeemu rasoolun kareemu wa bil mu'minina raufun rahimu fa minhu atana tariqun qawimu liman sara fihi نعيم مقيم رسول عظيم نبي كريم وبالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم
میرے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی تیری دنیا دی تو ہی شفاعت کی اما اے رحمت للعالمین اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی کوئی نہیں تجھ سا نہیں اے تیری دنیا دی اے نبی تیرے در پہ آئے جو دامن کو بھر لے جائے وہ ان جالیوں کی شان کیا ایک نظر ہم پر بھی ہو تیری دنیا دی اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی تو ہی شفاعت کی اما اے رحمت للعالمین اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری جس نہیں اے رحمت للعالمین اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی اے نبی ان کی عطا اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی میں شفاعت کی اما اے رحمت للعالمین اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی کوئی نہیں تجھ سا نہیں اے رحمت شفاعت کی اما اے رحمت للعالمین اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی کوئی نہیں تجھ سا نہیں اے رحمت للعالمین اے نبی پیارے نبی سنت تیری دنیا دی دنیا کے اے مسافر منزل تیری قبر ہے منزل تیری قبر ہے طے کر رہا ہے جو تو دن کا یہ سفر ہے تو دن کا یہ سفر ہے دنیا کے اے مسافر منزل تیری قبر ہے منزل تیری قبر ہے طے کر رہا ہے جو تو دن کا یہ سفر ہے تو دن کا یہ سفر ہے جب سے بنی ہے دنیا لاکھوں کروڑوں ہے باقی رہا نہ کوئی مٹی میں سب سمائے مٹی میں سب سمائے مت بھولنا یہاں پر سب کا یہی حشر ہے سب کا یہی حشر ہے دنیا کے اے مسافر منزل تیری قبر ہے منزل تیری قبر ہے طے کر رہا ہے جو تو دو دن کا یہ سفر ہے دو دن کا یہ سفر ہے آنکھوں سے تو نے اپنی کتنے جنازے دیکھے ہاتھوں سے تو نے اپنے دفنا کتنے مردے انجام سے تو اپنے کیوں اتنا بے خبر ہے کیوں اتنا بے خبر ہے دنیا کے مسافر منزل تیری قبر ہے منزل تیری قبر ہے مخمل پہ سونا
سوال ہوں گے میرے دوستو، یاد رکھنا، ان کے لیے ان کی تیاری کر لینا. تین خبر کے سوال ہیں، پانچ محشر کے سوال ہیں. 8 questions everyone will be asked. اس کی تیاری کرنا. I just laid my father in the cover 4-5 days ago. And as my father was being put inside the grave, I was watching it and I said to myself, Oh my father, you used to call people towards Allah. You used to say that one day everybody has to die and they have to go inside the cover. My father, you used to say all of these things. Right now you are experiencing it and tomorrow I will experience it. میرے دوستو یہ بہت بڑا سچ ہے. ہاں، غیر کیوں پریشان رہتے ہیں؟ ان کی پریشانی کی کیا وجہ ہے؟ Why are they so always so depressed? Why even millions and millions don't bring them pleasure? Why? Because they have no concept of life after death. They see their life ending and then they have no idea where are we going to go. I just met some non-Muslim brothers and they kept on asking me just one question time and again, what is going to happen after death? I said the difference between Islam and other religions is that Islam tells you by the second what is going to happen after death, right till you reach Jannah, and even after Jannah Islam tells you what's going to happen after death. آپ کو پتا ہے کہ موت کے بعد کیا ہوگا، اسی لیے تو آپ کو اطمینان ہے. اگر آپ کو نہ پتا ہو، اگر آپ کو یہ ہو کہ موت پر سب کچھ ختم ہے، تو میں نے یہ اتنی بڑی امپائر جو بنائی ہے میں کیا کروں اس کا؟ I hate it. What am I going to do with it? Soon I'm going to die. And everybody and people will just take it away from me. یہ تو اسلام بتاتا ہے کہ اس کے بعد کیا ہوگا. تم بات مان کے چلو گے، موت کے وقت فرشتے آئیں گے تمہارے پاس اور تمہیں بشارت دیں گے. اللہ تخاف ولا تحزن وابشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. گھبراؤ، خوف نہ کرو. آپ کو تو چار چیزیں کرنے کی ضرورت ہے بہن. اللہ آپ کو وہ جنت دے گا جو انبیاء کو دیتا ہے. نماز پڑھ لو، خان اپنے روزے رکھ لو، اپنی عصمت کی حفاظت کر لو، ٹھیک ہے؟ تین چیز. اور چوتھی چیز، اپنے شوہر کے مال کو صحیح خرچ کر لو. بس وہ جنت ملے گی جو انبیاء کو ملتی ہے. یہ تو پسوڑی ہمیں پڑی ہوئی ہے مردوں کو، یہ بھی کرنا ہے، یہ بھی نہیں کرنا اور یہ بھی نہیں کرنا. اللہ تخاف ولا تحزن وابشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن اولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي انفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. بشارت ہے، فرشتے اتریں گے، آپ کو بشارت دیں گے. They will give you glad tidings. Here is the Jannah you have been promised by the prophets. Do not fear, have no sorrow. One fears, where am I going? And one has sorrow, I'm leaving all of this. Don't worry about any of this. Here is the Jannah. We used to be your buddies and friends when you were in this world. And we're going to be with you once you leave this world. And from today onwards, whatever you desire, you'll get it. Not now.
His nads and nazams will be remembered for ages. His own transformation made him a great contributor to Islam.
So the criterion of success, Allah says.
Tune in to Radio Islam International this Thursday, the 23rd of March, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. as we profile Marhoom Junaid Jamshed. We'll be taking a closer look, interviewing near-held acquaintances and family members to dive deeper into the man behind the melodious voice.
So, why do we go out in the path of Allah?
To make our salah and make our dua powerful. That when we make our dua, we know it will be accepted.
Allah.
dear respected listeners, it's one of those days when we try to resolve all the gremlins in the system, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Brother Junaidim Shaid was truly a person who was very inspiring. Well, Tariq Jamil, in many of his bayans and lectures said subsequent to his death, he said that, you know, I've seen many pious people, I've seen many famous people, I've seen many world-renowned people in my time, but I've never seen people be remorseful, people feel the loss, people sympathize and empathize with any janazah salah like how I've seen for Brother Junaid Jamshed, marhum rahimahullah. He said that there was a particular person who took a ticket to come all the way to the mayat and the funeral of Brother Junaid Jamshed. And this person didn't have the money to go back because he only had that amount of wealth that was there. And he said that the reason I'm coming for this is to be part of the janazah of a shaheed. Now imagine, that is the one aspect. The other, it took Maulana Tariq Jamil about 8 months to make a change, or for the change to start in the life of Brother Junaid Jamshed. So when we're dealing with people, it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes we tell, Maulana, I told my son, how much must I tell him? One time, two times, three times? Where Maulana Tariq Jamil worked for 8 months on Brother Junaid Jamshed before the change became visible and before the change started taking impact. We have online now one of the people that were very helpful in trying to assist in arranging this program, Brother Khalid, who's all the way from America. Brother Khalid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. And how are you?
Alhamdulillah. I am good. Thank you for taking me live online here with the audience here in South Africa. Very privileged to be on with you.
It's very much appreciated. I know you're traveling. You've just landed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you for the service of deen, inshallah.
Ameen, Suman.
You know Brother Junaid Jamshed for a long time. What can you tell us about his initial life and obviously the change that could be a means of motivation for the listeners of Radio Islam?
Yeah, Brother Ubaidullah, actually Brother Junaid Jamshed and I were companions for the last 10 years or so in different and we travel a lot in USA, Canada, and abroad. And I had the privilege of having his company on different occasions, on different programs, Quranic programs, the Naat programs, the regular, you know, the fundraising programs, different humanity programs that we did, mostly in America. But, you know, I was part of Canada also, a lot of programs in Canada. He was such a great person. I mean, there's not a single day that passes by me and I don't remember him for one thing or the other. And I'm sure the feeling is very mutual and same for a lot of other people out there who are listening to me. Brother Junaid Jamshed was full of love. He never had anything to say bad about anybody whatsoever. I mean, he was such a pious person, such straight, such a golden heart person I've never seen in my entire life. I was at his funeral, like you mentioned, and you were talking to the audience. I was with Maulana Tariq Jamil on the stage at the funeral when he was doing the bayan, and he was talking about Brother Junaid Jamshed. I have never seen in my entire life such a big janazah, such a big funeral. I mean, I kept, 500,000 plus people showed up, probably more. I mean, it probably doubled, but I'm just, you know, making a rough estimate. I think it was probably more than that. But from every part of the Pakistan, entire other countries, USA, Canada, Europe, UK, South Africa, Saudi Arabia, I seen all of those people were there. So, mashallah, like you were mentioning, and I was listening to the talk that you had in the background of Brother Junaid Jamshed. I mean, he had something in it, a charismatic personality, something that whenever he used to talk, when he used to say something, a nasiha or a talk or a small little thing, it used to touch the hearts of the people, you know, right away, you know. And he used to connect with all the races, all the ages, whether it was a kid, whether it was an older person, or in the middle-aged person, in any circumstances they were going through, they used to connect with Brother Junaid Shaikh. He was such a noble, such a pious, and such a great person that the words will finish and I won't be able to finish his attributes.
Definitely. There's many aspects that have come out regarding his life this evening. One is his generosity, one is his concern for the people, one is the fact that he wanted, whatever he done, he always wanted to do it the best. What for you was a quality that really, if we have to personify in the community, there is one quality you would advocate to the listeners from the life of Brother Junaid Jamshed?
You know, when you say quality, are you trying to say that one of the quality that he had, which he implemented?
Anything in that regard, brother. Anything in that regard.
Yeah. So, Brother Junaid said, you know, one of the most important quality that he had was that he first of all, he never, ever, ever, ever backbited anybody. Anybody in 10 years of my life, day and night with him, traveling, I have never seen, you know, there's some conspiracy or some of the things, controversial subjects come up with somebody, something, but Brother Junaid always used to say, give benefit of the doubt to the people and they say, you know what, this is for the best, this is for the best. And he never had any hatred for anyone, always love. That's why, you know, I could swear on this one that I've never seen him saying anything bad about anybody whatsoever in my 10 years of life when I was my association with him. So his policy was just love, basically, you know. So in a nutshell, he used to full time he used to just love to everyone. And the second thing is that when he converted, you know, started, you know, getting into the company of more Maulanas and more pious people and everything. And when he was changing, I think one thing I noticed that whenever he picked up a sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he never forbade it then after that. You never gave up on that or anything or never left it. You know, whatever sunnah he picked it up, he just continued with it. You know, the his dress, his topi, his tasbihat, his habit of being in the wuzu all the time while traveling, or, you know, always before we used to travel, he used to do surah at-nafil, you know. Almost all of the time I see him in wuzu, you know, whenever his wuzu breaks, he used to do it, whether we are at the airport or anywhere. So these are small things, and, you know, that have come to in his life, and he basically held on to it, and he always gave advices to the other people about the same thing. So whatever he was preaching, he was a complete, you know, you could actually see those things in him. So it wasn't just, you know, it was just a talk. He was actually the implementation of that talk. First he did it himself, and then he used to say it.
Brother Khalid, you knew Brother Junaid for a long period of time, obviously for the better part of 10 years. We always ask the question on the radio, what was his private interaction with you compared to the public interaction with other people?
So, you know, he was a very, very friendly and he used to love jokes, you know. He used to be always, I mean, I don't think so you guys have ever seen his face without a smile. So he would always be smiling. He always appreciated the laughters and, you know, the good light jokes also. He was very, very, very friendly person, very pleasant person. And a big, you know what, one thing about him was he was the best hug giver, you know, I've ever seen. And wherever you meet with him, He was most gracious in his smile, the most gracious in spreading his arms and giving the hug, that the other person used to feel like, you know, that he was longing to meet him or her, you know, and just in a way that he was just amazing in his greeting. And that's how he was in the private life also, you know, when we were sitting in the room, when he used to sit in the room and there's some talks going on, so he would joke around, he would appreciate the joke. And another thing about the private thing, you know, about his eating, you know, I would tell you, he used to love cheese, you know, he used to love pizza, even though, you know, he used to watch what he's eating, but sometimes he would just go, you know, he would just forget about all the eating and about the then dieting or anything. He used to love pizza, he loved cheese, nachos with the, you know, with the cheese, spread cheese on it, he used to love it, you know, whenever we used to travel. He used to stop by at a convenience store just for that. So, tell me what else? You know, there's so many things. You know, I don't know what else. But these are some of the things that among the friends, you know, he used to just do it without even, you know, he was such a big celebrity, such a big person in terms of, you know, respected person, but he used to be very humble. Very down to earth. Whenever he used to be on the streets meeting people, he would give them time, he would stay there, he would finish the whole subject until the end and then leave.
Tell me, we heard a lot of his akhlaq, his character, his demeanor with people. You traveling with him for some time, what was the ma'amulat and the daily practices of his regarding the ibadat that we can learn from?
So daily mamulat, you know, one thing I know that he was, he used to be up, right, early in the morning for tahajjud. No matter how late, we used to come back from the programs, from different programs or bayanat in the masajid or somewhere else that we are doing, when we used to come back in the hotel. You know, we used to go to sleep, and then early in the morning, I always used to see him in the corridor of the hotel, like with his mobile phone, and he's reading Quran on it, and it is before tahajjud or at tahajjud time, before Fajr, and I know that he was memorizing Quran also, but at the same time he used to do tahajjud, he used to always do his prayers without missing it. Whenever the prayer time comes, he would just make sure that the prayer is done on time. He used to do a lot of tasbihat. He used to tell a lot of tasbihat, short for tasbihat, during our safar, during our travel time. Whenever we used to have time, he used to teach, he used to tell us whatever he used to learn from others, from elders and respected, you know, molanas and ulama ikram. He used to pass it on. See, that's one thing about Junaid bhai, was that, you know, he was just not one single person who was spreading the good about Islam and the good teachings and the simple teachings of Islam to the entire world. One good thing about him was that he used to take all those good things and from his elders and then bring it to the table, because he used to travel a lot, right? He used to go to Australia, UK, South Africa, America, USA, and that's one thing amazing about it, because he never dreaded, he never shy away from traveling. He whenever somebody calls him from Canada or UK or USA, that Brother Junaid, you know, we have this occasion coming, we have a groundbreaking ceremony of this masjid, of this Islamic, you know, institution, can you please come and speak about it? He used to like run towards those things, you know, like, you know, let me go, let me be part of that project, let me be part of that groundbreaking ceremony. So, you know, tomorrow when I'm in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can say that, you know, I was there at that occasion, so bear witness, you know, and these are some of the things that he used to do, in his regular mamulat, you know. He used to say that, Brother Khalid, I don't have much time, but I have a lot of work to do. So let me capitalize on the time that I have. I want to do it. I want to do as much as I can.
What would he do when he would travel to America and Canada? Was it more lectures, programs, or was it some work that he was probably going to be doing in those areas?
No, it was lectures, programs. You know, he was a great nasheed reciter, as we all know that. And at the same time, he by being in the company of such great scholars and ulama ikram, and what he learned in the last 15-20 years about Islam, he used to talk about that. His bayanat used to be very simple, to the point. And related to the time frame or the vicinity. You know, if he's in Canada, he will talk about the problems in Canada, family, you know, that's happening. So if there's some family issues or something, he would give advice based on his experience. He used to talk to the young generation a lot. He used to address the young generation a lot too. So that they can take advantage of some of the small little tips about being on the set, about keeping themselves in the right path. So he used to give simple advices. He never had very complicated or complex dhyana that he used to do. He used to use simple language, in English or in Urdu. But his bayanat were very, very concise, to the point. And then he used to mix it up with nasheeds and everything, so that, you know, the both flavors would come, so people would enjoy it, people would stay here, and they would absorb and retain, the subject that he used to talk about.
Tell me, before we ask you, and I just said that, you know, we have the short clips that come out every now and again. And alhamdulillah, one of your nasheeds that you rendered also came about. What is something that you would share with the listeners before we ask you to render us a nasheed as well?
Brother Ubaidullah, what I would say to the audience who are listening right now is, Brother Junaid Jamshed was just not a person, he was an institution. He has shown us a lot of small techniques and ways, and he opens the door for us. You know that our religion, Islam, is very simple and it's easy to follow, no matter what country we live in. It doesn't have to be, you know, you have to live in an Islamic country. You could be in anywhere, Europe, Western country, and everything, and you can follow the Deen, because Deen is beautiful. Our Deen is very easy. And easy to follow, easy to absorb, and you know, and we can practice it and we can start it from our own self and our own houses, you know, because you know that's where you start from, and then you go to your neighbors and your neighborhood and your towns and masajid, you know, spend time at least, you know, few days, 3 days if you can, in a month time frame, just 3 days, give it dedicated time to your local masajid. I think that would bring a lot of good to yourself and to your family. I have seen people being changed just because spending some more time. I mean, I'm sure you guys or the listeners, you know, they do our regular namaz and namaz and everything, and then prayers. But I think if you go in the path of Allah for 3 days a month, that would bring a lot of good to your houses and to your heart and to your deen.
JazakAllah. My advice. Can I request you to give us a nasheed before we ask, before we get to Sister Fawzia?
Sister Fawzia is also online? Okay.
Inshallah.
Okay. If you have any requests of Brother Junaid Jamshed Nasheed, I would do it. There are so many nasheeds, very, very near and dear to me. I could recite Mera Dil Badal De. I think a lot of people have heard this. Anybody?
It's a nice one, inshallah.
Yeah. Inshallah, it's about hearts, because the heart is what basically controls our mind and our body. So let's talk about heart, and this is the nasheed Brother Junaid used to recite a lot.
Mera dil badal de, mera dil badal de, mera dil badal de, mera dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Hawaon hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de, khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. Badal de dil ki duniya dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Gunahgari mein kab tak umr ka kyun, gunahgari mein kab tak umr ka kyun. Badal de mera rasta dil badal de, suno main naam tera dhadkanon mein, suno main naam tera dhadkanon mein. Maza jaye maula dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Hata loon aankh apni maa siva se, hata loon aankh apni maa siva se. Jiyo main teri khatir dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Karun qurbaan apni saari khushiyan, karun qurbaan apni saari khushiyan. Tu apna gham ata kar dil badal de, sahal farma musalsal yaad apni, sahal farma musalsal yaad apni. Khuda ya rehm farma dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Pada hoon tere dar pe dil shikasta, pada hoon tere dar pe dil shikasta. Rahun kyun dil shikasta dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Tera ho jaun itni aarzu hai, tera ho jaun itni aarzu hai. Bas itni hai tamanna dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Oh, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you and take you from strength to strength, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah so much for putting this program for us tonight, this evening as well. Allah reward you.
Ameen. Ameen. You are very welcome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Wa rahmatullah.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
We have online a very senior person, a very famous individual as well, Sister Fozia, a family member of Brother Junaid Jamshed. Sister Fozia, Jazakallah for taking out your time, and Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. And thank you very much for taking me on this program.
Sorry, I know it's fairly late in Pakistan at the moment. You know Brother Jamshed probably for his whole life, being an aunt of his. What was it about Brother Junaid Jamshed that just stands out for the listeners?
All right. First of all, I'm not in Pakistan at the moment. I'm actually in the United States of America.
Okay.
And yes, it is only in the afternoon here, and I'm sorry the reception is not very good. But I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you nice and clear. Jazakallah.
Okay, very good. Now, Junaid, mashallah, ever since he was a child, it's not like, you know, things happened to him overnight and he became such a beautiful individual. And he was born that way. Honestly, it's my faith that some people are gifted by Allah. From the very beginning, Junaid had those makings of a very kind, humble, hardworking person in him. He was always very, very nice and considerate to others, very God-fearing. You know, when you're children, the concept of God is not as clear as it becomes later. And as you begin to appreciate all the things and blessings that we have from Allah. But Junaid was one individual that, you know, I'm his aunt, like he was my eldest sister's son. And I was the youngest in my family. And there's about 9 years of age difference between me and Junaid. So he was not just a nephew, he was also my closest friend. And in a way, we grew up together. And even as a child, there was so much that I was always learning from him. Then during his teen years, he was very focused. And the most beautiful thing about him was that Junaid was a very kind. Used to come out from Junaid.
Yes. Sorry, you just want to repeat the last part? I think we lost you at the last portion.
Okay. So I was saying that Junaid was always very kind. And the most beautiful thing about him was that he was very understanding and very giving and generous by nature. And you know, in my estimation, generosity does not just mean that you share things that you own, but it's also about being kind to people where you sit with them and understand what their problem is and try to find a solution for it. And the Lord was very appreciative of Islam. And then he always wanted to unite people. I mean, even in the family, you know, if there was ever a dispute or anything, even as a teenager, growing up in his early 20s and everything, he was always away from all family politics. He always believed that, you know, he should respect the adults, and if there are any issues and conflicts, they should be resolved through communication and better understanding. So he was just, mashallah, a wonderful young man. And to me, he was like a son. And I used to think that, you know, I loved Junaid. But I realized now, later, as he was growing up, and, you know, how many people's lives he had impacted all over the world. And how he was not just my son, he was a son and a friend and a brother to millions of people all over the world, really. He was just that kind of an individual.
Tell me, you've seen the change in Brother Junaid from where he was in terms of his previous career to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown him in terms of accepting him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we've heard so much about his current life. Was it very much different in terms of his character, his personality, when he was a pop star to when he was a simple human being calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yeah. You know, even when Junaid was a musician and in his growing years, and of course he was a very successful and popular rock star. He was an icon for so many young people. But there was so much humility in Junaid. There was so much passion in him for good things, patriotism for Pakistan, love for people in general. So even as a musician, whatever he did in his years, while writing and singing music and traveling the world, he was always a first-class ambassador for Pakistan, for our values, you know, values of good human beings, that we share commonalities with different people in different parts of the world. Junaid was always cut out to be very understanding and tolerant. And it was not easy, the transition for him, because religion is a very serious subject, generally considered so. But religion is also gives a lot of leeway. And like you said, if you have it in your character to have faith, to have good values, to care about other people. I'm a Muslim, and alhamdulillah, I'm very grateful to Allah that I was born in a Muslim household. But I have a lot of friends from different faiths, but I respect people for the good in them. And I understand that, you know, it is not easy to change religions or to move away from the values that have been instilled in you as a child. So, I mean, but Junaid always had it in him. He was always a believer in humanity. And I think Islam is one of the most beautiful religions in the world because of its message of humanity, of being kind to other human beings. Because I also feel, and you know, I myself involved in a lot of social work at the grassroots level in Pakistan, and I am an activist, I'm a political activist, but in all my political activism, I have always only spoken about justice, and I, that is my message, that is my passion, to have a system where we can have a society which treats and gives equal opportunities to all people. So Junaid was like that. So even in his years as a musician, his message and his character was the same. It was all about doing good things, about helping other people, about promoting good values. And then when he converted towards religion, it was not easy because then you had to be dealing with people who had very set ideas as well. But I as a Muslim personally think that Islam is very accepting and Allah is very forgiving. So, you know, we evolve. We learn with time. I'm always in learning. I'm no scholar, but I like to learn from people who will, you know, teach us all the good things about Islam, because Islam is about spreading goodness and love. And it was difficult because it required for him to change his image, to, you know, change his looks. And mashallah, Junaid was a very handsome young man. And it was not easy for him to do that, but he had a lot of courage. He had a lot of conviction. And I think it was a strong belief and a strong faith in Allah. He decided that this was his calling and that whatever goodwill he had to use it to spread the message of Islam. And I think Junaid did it beautifully. Even as a messenger of Allah, including his belief and all his time that he spent traveling the world with the message of Allah, he was never critical of other people. He was never condescending of other religions. He did not put people down. He was not about disgracing people, but he was all about what Islam had to offer. And that is why Junaid was loved by people of all ages. All races, you know, I was in the United States when Junaid embraced Shahadat. And even here, the television channels and the local radio stations, they didn't know Junaid Jamshid personally, but they were talking about a young man who had everything, who was at the peak of his career as a musician and a rock star, and he gave it all up for Allah. So they were talking about his courage, about his commitment and integrity. And of course, he was the kind of person who did not offend anyone because of the way he behaved, because of his character, because of his behavior. So it was difficult, but Junaid, mashallah, did it. And he worked for Allah, and his life was lost in the path of Allah. And I just want to say, I know that he is, as an individual, he is an institution and such an inspiration for so many thousands and millions of young people in Pakistan and abroad. May Allah bless his soul in heaven. That's where he is, I'm convinced.
On behalf of the family of Radio Islam and the Muslims of South Africa, obviously we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for y'all as a family. Allah take more work from y'all as a family, and Allah use y'all and y'all's family to be a means of millions of more people changing their life, inshallah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Such beautiful duas, and the very same to you. And I know that Junaid always spoke very highly of his trips and his travels and what he learned and his association with the Muslims in South Africa. And I wish you all well, and may Allah bless you all and everybody. And may Allah unite the Muslim Ummah, and things be good, and we do what we've been sent on this earth to do.
I mean,
to spread goodwill and Allah's good message. Thank you so much.
Thank you. JazakAllah, Sister Fawzia. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so much. Allah Hafiz.
Amen. This was Sister Fawzia, the aunt of Brother Junaid Jamshed, Marhum Rahimahullah. There is so much to unpack and there's so much that was discussed. Obviously, being all the different guests from overseas, it's sometimes difficult, and the phones, etc. But nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that it was so much to learn from us. And if there's one point we can leave with, is that the fact that Brother Junaid Jamshed was not condescending upon anybody, he was respectful to everybody, and he was not judgmental to people. And hence he would be able to work across so many different spheres of the society that it was truly remarkable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that understanding, that wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are also able to work across the different spectrums of the communities we live in, across the different spectrums of the people that we interact with, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for Muslims from around the world. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What is azan? Before I start explaining it to you, let me just tell you one very interesting thing. Every time azan used to happen, the color of the face of Hazrat Ali Karamallahu Wajhu used to change. And people used to come up to him and they used to say to him, why is it that, you know, when you listen to the Quran, okay, great, you know, when you listen to the Hadith, great, but once you listen to the azan, you know, the face of your, the color of your face changes. He says, if only you would understand what is being said in the azan, you will feel exactly the way I am feeling. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Four Allahu Akbar, four takbeers. Allah is the greatest on this side, Allah is the greatest on this side, Allah is the greatest on this side, Allah is the greatest on this side. Four directions are covered. Wherever you will look, wherever you will look, Allah is the greatest. God is the greatest. Everything is created by Him. Wherever I am looking, I can see the sky. Who created this? I can see the building. Where did the mud and the clay come from? I can see the sky. I can see the earth. I can see the people. So Allah says, wherever you are going to look, I am the greatest. You will find me as the greatest. Wherever you will look, you will just find me. So look in the four directions. And I am the greatest. Okay. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.